Good morning and a happy and blessed Easter to those of you who are gathered here and those of you who are joining us on the live stream. It's a nice, bright, sunny morning. And so we can say with great confidence, if I press the right button, hallelujah, Christ is risen. See, what a morning, gloriously bright. Let's stand and worship and sing. Would you like to sit down? It may be that you have got through Lent thinking, how am I going to get through this? When's it all going to end? What on earth is happening? But today we find that there are the answers to some of those deep questions. Jesus not telling us what's happened after the resurrection, but actually asking his own questions as he greets Mary and addresses her pain, saying, who are you looking for? As he walks to Emmaus with those people addressing their confusion and saying, don't you understand? As he meets with the disciples and addresses their doubts and saying, why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts? And in the risen Jesus, we have the answer to those questions. I think some of you will have seen this video before, but I thought it was worth repeating.
It's finished. It's over. There's more of them than us, and they look a lot bigger. The villain's got the girl and his fingers on the trigger. Voldemort, Sauron, and Vader reign. It's gone to penalties against the Germans again. It's a terrible feeling when hope is erased, faith misplaced, virtue defaced, gloom embraced, reputation replaced with the taste of disgrace. When you've pushed every door and it's been slammed in your face, when you realise you're third in a two-horse race. So come sit with me on Golgotha's slopes. See human history at its lowest ebb. See the forces of goodness and grace on the ropes. Evil had spoken, last rites read. In a phony gown and thorny crown, he's mocked and knocked and shamed. As he staggers down through an angry town, they spit and hit and hate. Hands that forged galaxies and flung starry trails are pierced and punctured by merciless nails. His body succumbing to brutal infliction. These, the horrors of crucifixion. And as dice are tossed, hope is lost. Desolate disciples count the cost. King of the Jews, his headrest embossed. A criminal's killing on Calvary's cross. And as last words cut through foul-smelling air, the whole of the cosmos cries out in despair, it is finished. It's over. But then dawn breaks on Easter Day. Darkness quakes as shadows give way to the light. See, resurrection's the plan, it's why God sent him. And the comeback's on, there's a change of momentum. The powers of damnation in previous jubilation have been hushed and crushed by the Lord of creation. See, he takes the hit, stands where we should have stood. And that's why we call Friday good. And he's back with life and with us and blessed. And that's why we can know it as Sunday best. So to the 4-0 down, to the backs against the wall, listen to his rallying resurgent call. And to those up against it in brokenness and pain, Easter's story roars, we go again. So thine be the glory, death lost its sting. Here's to Jesus, the comeback king.
Now it's your turn to take part. And here is a question. What one thing, just one thing, convinces you, or if you are not convinced, what one thing would convince you that the resurrection really happened? Right, you've had your 5 seconds of thinking. Jeff is going to come round with a microphone and just give us one thing, just one thing that convinces you that the resurrection really happened.
Is this what you
I say my faith.
My experience of Jesus today, well, in my life. Okay.
Raise a hand if you'd like to say something.
The conviction of the Holy Spirit as he just leads me. Because it says so in the Bible?
Yeah, great. One at the back there.
The heady answer is that lots of people gave their lives for him. The disciples who lived with him were prepared to lay their lives down.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
At times I felt the risen Jesus with me.
To hear Jesus' voice.
I've known his presence with me in a really dangerous and difficult place.
Well, thank you for all those comments and ideas. I confess that they're not quite the answers I thought. I mean, fascinating, because you all came up with things that affect you personally. It's my faith. It's my knowing that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within me. It's my answered prayer and so on. All those, if you like, 21st century things, and that is absolutely brilliant. I confess that when I set the question, I was thinking, actually, what convinced me was the fact that perhaps there was no body in the tomb. The authorities couldn't produce a body at the time. It changed the lives of those first disciples, and so on. But for each of us, there will be something which makes us think, actually, the only reasonable explanation is that the Bible is actually accurate. As somebody said, it says it in the Bible. And something will have convinced us that the Bible is true. And the only reasonable answer is that on that first Easter Sunday morning, Jesus really did come back to life. And sometimes with those thoughts in mind, we come to think, actually, I have had doubts. Sometimes I haven't got the right things and the right thoughts. And sometimes we need to confess that, because God understands these things. And so we can say, like Mary at the empty tomb, we fail to grasp the wonder of your presence with us today. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Like the disciples behind locked doors, we are afraid sometimes to be seen as your followers. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Like Thomas in the upper room, we are slow to believe. Lord, have mercy. But you know, there is good news. The resurrection really did happen. And as Paul wrote to those Christians in Rome so long ago, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. we can be certain, we can be sure, there is now no condemnation. So Almighty God, who forgives all of us who are truly sorry, have mercy upon each one of us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal through the risen Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Just a comment that there is a table at the back with exciting word searches, colouring, little booklets. So, you know, if you get bored with what's happening this way, particularly if you think you're under 21, do go and just enjoy the things on the table at the back. At the same time, I'll tell you what, for those who think they might be under 21 and haven't had an Easter egg hunt, after communion, well, there are a few eggs just on the corner there, and those who've come up for communion on your way back, you may help yourself to an egg on the way back if you think you're under 21. How about that? Right, for the rest of us, we're going to stand and sing about Jesus, our Saviour. Low in the grave he lay.
If you'd like to sit down, Carol will come and bring us our reading.
The reading is from Mark chapter 16, the first 8 verses. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There's an old Christian custom, which I'm sure some of you will know. It involves keeping your Christmas tree until Good Friday. And on Good Friday, you strip off the branches and make the stem into a cross like this. And you put it like this in your front garden or in a window. And then on Easter Sunday, you take some flowers, perhaps some Easter lilies or some daffodils, and you dress the cross. And then you plant it again in the front garden or in a window. And it's meant, of course, to symbolise the birth, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people call this a tree of life. That name, of course, comes from the Bible. And it runs through the Bible from the very beginning to the very end. You'll find it in Genesis, in the middle of the Garden of Eden, there's a tree of life. And it says this about it: whoever eats from it will live forever. But nobody did, because God himself barred the way to the tree of life. He closed the gate. But that wasn't the end of the story, because one Good Friday, on a hill far away, on another tree, where the Prince of Glory died, the gate to the tree of life was opened, so that we might take from it and come alive as he came alive. And so it says right at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, Jesus has given us the right to eat from the tree of life. And I guess you could say, what happens to trees in the spring at Easter time every year when they burst into life is God telling the world about the tree of life and inviting us to come alive through that tree. Certainly in the Bible, a tree in flower or a tree in fruit is a symbol of a person who's come alive spiritually. Whereas a dead tree is a picture of a person who is spiritually dead. And a dead tree is a danger. This particular tree stood 15 metres from our front door in Malvern Link. I reported it to Worcester County Council because it was on a public footpath. Too late. In the winds back in February this year, down it came, crashing onto three cars that were parked nearby. Dead trees are a danger. And so are people who are spiritually dead. They're a danger to themselves, they're a danger to others. And they're a danger because they're hollow inside and they're desperate to fill that emptiness. Nothing they do gives them the life they crave until they come to Jesus Christ, the tree of life, and get grafted into him. And then they start coming alive. So much so that Jesus actually said they've passed and crossed over from death to life. Think of it like this. You've got a train to catch. You're on your way to London, but you've misread the departure board and you're on the wrong platform and you don't know it. And the train comes in and you get on. And as you settle into your seat, you hear an announcement, this train's going to Hereford. So you make a dash for the door and you jump off and you cross over onto the other side. Just in time to get on the London train. Now you're going in the right direction. So let me ask you this Easter Sunday morning, are you going in the right direction in your life? Because if you've realised you're not, now is the time to get off and cross over to life. Jesus is the tree of life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live. And they will live in a way that death can't touch. Come alive. Well, if you have come alive, well, then it's very much a question of staying alive. Because the sad thing is that some people who come alive to God, they don't stay alive to him. Something gets in the way and chokes it. Jesus told us about this in his parable of the sower. Now, if that happens, you need to take radical action. If your faith is dying, somebody said that to me actually 2 weeks ago. I think my faith is dying. I used to be so alive. Not anymore. We had a tree in our garden last summer that got blighted. The leaves just withered. Had to take radical action. I cut all the branches off. But now, it's growing healthy. Staying alive. If you think your faith is failing, take action. If you think you're having a stroke, or someone else is, you don't just sit there and say, well, they'll get better. They won't. You have to act fast. I did a first aid course once. It was all about giving people CPR. I'd never done it before, so I thought, I'll give that a go. There were 10 of us on the course, and we each had one of these dummies. And you had to press down on this dummy until it clicked, so you knew you were pressing hard enough. So off I went. I thought, this is good, it's clicking every time. And the instructor came up to me and said, you're going too slow. Your dummy is dead, dummy. So I said, well, how fast are you supposed to go? And he said, Jean will know this because I'm sure she's done this. He said to me, do you know that song by the Bee Gees, Staying Alive? Staying Alive, stay. So I thought, okay, that's how fast you've got to go, he said. So off I go. Soon everybody in the room is singing, Staying Alive. I tell you, those dummies nearly got up and walked. If you feel your faith is failing, don't hang about. Contact someone. Talk to one of your church leaders. Tell them what's happening. Let them pray with you. Let them advise you so that you come alive before it's too late. Staying alive, and then, of course, it's a question of keeping alive. One thing trees need a lot of is water, of course. Now, I'm reliably told that a healthy tree in the growing season will take up 10 gallons of water a day for every inch of its diameter. So measure around, what's your waist diameter? 32, 36, 40? Let's imagine you've measured your tree round its waist. It's 40 inches times 10 gallons. That's 400 gallons a day for a healthy tree. It's a lot. How much spiritual water does an average Christian need to keep alive? Well, there are two streams of living water. One is the Word of God, and the other is the Spirit of God. And in Psalm number 1, it says, a person who delights in the law of the Lord, that's the Word of God, is like this. Like a tree planted by a stream, yielding fruit, leaf doesn't wither, whatever they do, prospers. We need to soak ourselves in the Word of God if we want to keep alive spiritually. Sadly, I know some Christians who do not open their Bible from one Sunday to the next. No wonder they're withered up spiritually. But the other stream is the Spirit of God. And we need to soak up the Spirit of God. And that's simply a question of asking. Jesus said, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will my Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If we want to keep alive, then we need those streams. Coming alive, staying alive, keeping alive, and finally, being alive. What a blessing trees are, aren't they? We all love trees. What a blessing to the world. How the planet would suffer without trees. And when you come alive to Jesus Christ, he makes you and me into a tree of life for the world. What a blessing we can be. And a healthy tree, you know, produces many seeds. And some trees have a very clever way of dispersing their seeds. The cleverest, I think, is the helicopter seed. In a high wind, the helicopter seed can go far and wide, plant itself and grow into a tree. So here's a quiz question for you. Name four trees that use the helicopter method to disperse their seeds. Shout them out. Sycamore is one. Maple, that's close. I'll show you them. First, the sycamore, field maple, ash, and Norway maple. A healthy tree produces many seeds and disperses them. A healthy Christian and a healthy church is someone who finds imaginative ways to spread the seed of God's word so that other people come alive. Let me tell you one little story about a church that did this. I belonged to this church once, and we were talking about how do we spread the seed of God's word. And we happened to have in the congregation a guy who ran a charity called Trees for London. He loved planting trees. And he came up with this idea. He said, why don't we give everybody a badge with a tree on it? And he designed this. It's meant to represent Jesus, the tree of life, but it's also meant to represent someone who's come alive in Christ. So we had 300 of these badges made professionally. And we asked the members of the congregation to wear it and see if anybody asked what it meant. and what they would say. Well, not everybody wore that badge, but quite a lot of people did. And those who did reported that they were often asked, what does that stand for? Some of them said they got cold feet and explained, well, I just like planting trees. But other people used it as an opportunity to talk about their faith in Jesus Christ and how he had brought them alive. Just one of many ways in which we can spread the seed. Jesus Christ is the tree of life. He's brought us alive so that we might be a tree of life to others. He said this, and I'll finish with this. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Have you ever noticed that carving behind the holy table? Around the top, the vine, the branches, and the bunches of grapes. It's beautiful. That's what we are. Trees of life. We're going to sing in gratitude for all that God has done for us. How deep the Father's love for us. Now, I can't seem to turn this on to the song. There we are. Thank you. Let's stand and make this a prayer. Seated, as we come to a few moments of prayer based on the tree of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you because Jesus, your Son, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Give us the desire to spread the seed of the gospel to others so that they too may eat from the tree of life and come alive to you, the only true God. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Living Lord, we pray for those whose faith is failing, who've wandered away from you and now feel lost. Help us to recognize what they need. Give us the grace to win them back. For you are the tree of life, and you have the words of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We read in the book of Revelation that in the city of God, there's a river running down the middle of the great street, and on each side of the river stands the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Eternal King, so many nations are in turmoil through war and oppression. So many civilians dead or dying, damaged or displaced in Ukraine, in Afghanistan. We cry out to you today. Bring a speedy end to the bloodshed and destruction that we see every day. Let peace prevail. Let healing come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, you have created us to be a tree of life to the world we live in. Fill us with your Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we reflect on all that Jeff has said, and as we have prayed for peace across the world, we also need our own personal peace within our hearts. So let's stand and pray for that peace for one another. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And so Jeff is now going to come and celebrate communion for us all to share. Would you like to be seated?
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took the bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord, with your whole church throughout the world. We offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Together we pray. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we with the whole company of Christ may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. Please come forward to the rail. If you would prefer to receive communion where you're sitting, would you just raise a hand and we'll come to you. Come forward if you wish to receive the bread and the wine together. But if all you wish is a blessing, keep your hands lowered and we'll give you Christ's blessing. Please also indicate when you come forward whether you would like gluten-free wafers. Draw near with faith.
So let's join together in the prayer on the screen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We'll stand for a final hymn of praise as we go out on this Easter Sunday morning. If at the end of the service you would like prayer, there'll be people here only too willing to pray with you. If all you need is a coffee, we've also got that. Let's stand and praise God in our final hymn.
Thank you.
Lord, you have given us so many things. We offer you these small tokens of all the good things that you have given us. We pray that they may be used to your glory to build your church for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we come to a final blessing, you may like to hold out your hands to receive from God all the good things that he has in store for each one of us. And the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make each one of us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord.